loving this. I've been dying to do one of these episodes forever because it's just, I travel. I love to travel.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love
it. It's so much fun. Like, yeah. It's so, I literally sell the most fun thing and everybody loves talking about it. Yeah. So even if I'm not selling travel for someone else, it doesn't matter because people love to talk to you about it. You know what I mean?
What a way what an icebreaker would that be for people, right? That you meet people, and even though you are in traveling and that's what you do in your business, you still can't get away with it even in personal life because people still love it so much.
Yeah, yeah, they do. And it's, I have someone who works for me and she does this on the side and her corporate job is selling kitty litter. And she's like, honestly, kitty litter, like, it's a great business. She's like, what? I make a ton of money. And she was like, but it's not fun to talk about. I don't want to talk about my corporate job to people, you know, at the bar. So yeah, it is. It's definitely a more fun topic to discuss.
I never even thought about kitty litter being such a booming business.
Oh, it's big. It's a big business. I mean, everybody's got to have it that has cats. So she makes a lot of money.
Could that be it? Because I wonder how much, you know, it's weird. I'm not downing any cat lovers out there, but I'm not a cat lover.
I'm not either.
A cat lover. Sorry.
No.
I might lean to more of a dog lover. Mm-hmm. Like, even though I don't have pets yet.
Yeah, we don't either.
I'm sure my daughter down the line would want one, but I would prefer not to, because I know it's going to be just this extra mental load and responsibility, and I'm just like not really into it right now.
Yeah. And but if you love travel, then you have to think about like, what am I going to do with my pets?
You know what?
You have to add it into your budget, like someone to babysit your dog.
Okay. So let's talk about stress-free travel. Not adding your pet to that. So if you have pets, don't want to add on to the stress on that. But
no.
Sorry about that. But yes, I do want to know. I know you did an episode with me before. We had a very amazing conversation about being the breadwinner in the family and how you experienced that and what that was like for you. So for anybody out there, go take a listen to that episode. I had a great conversation with Allie. But today she's going to talk about traveling. And I guess for people meeting you for the first time, what kind of trips do you plan and who do you help the most so people can understand?
Yeah, for sure. So I started in this business back in 2017 and I used to be a teacher. I was taking kids on European trips, abroad. We would go all over like World War II destinations, really fun. And, my husband's aunt owned her own travel agency and she kind of tapped me on the shoulder and was like, hey, you know, you can sell travel to people and make money, right? Like you don't just have to sell travel to people who have no money. And I was like, oh, wow, this is cool. I love this concept. So I kind of used my experiences with that to then plan trips for people. And really kind of what lights me up is planning trips for people to Europe for the very first time. I think I loved that about my students, watching them experience Europe oftentimes for the first time. And then I've found over the years that it's the same kind of feeling. So a lot of times it's going to be multi-destination European trips that I do. I do a lot of Italy, France, Germany, Switzerland, anywhere really in Europe that you can go. I kind of put that together. And that can feel intimidating to a lot of people who haven't done it often or have never done it before. So I do a lot of that. And then a lot of like fun in the sun, you know, all inclusives, Mexico, Caribbean, that kind of thing. That tends to be pretty popular, mostly because, you know, it's a great value. People want to get away with either friends or their family or something like that and have a stress-free vacation. So I do a lot of that. And then river cruises. River cruises have become super trendy and popular. I absolutely love them. They're so fun. I've done them myself. I'm going again this year with my family. So that tends to be a really popular one as well. I don't do as much of like ocean cruises, but I have a teammate who does. I don't do a lot of Disney. Again, I have a teammate that does. So we kind of all have our specialties that we really enjoy. I can send you anywhere in the world, but I would say typically Europe, Mexico, Caribbean. That would be my kind of bread and butter for sure.
I love European trips. Oof.
Me too. It just makes my heart so happy.
You know, I always have this thing where I take a break right, I'll do like a European trip and then I'll take a break the following year. And then I'll probably do like, you know, a Caribbean trip or a cruise. Like last year we did the Disney cruise in Florida where we went to their private islands or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing that later this month. So fun.
You're doing it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Which cruise are you going into?
We're doing the Wish and we're doing both the Disney islands. Yeah.
I had such a great time. Let me, and it was the dream. I did the dream, but it's, I think it's the same in a sense.
Yeah. Like, pretty, yeah. Pretty
you
similar.
Know, like it's very similar, but yeah, I did the two islands and I had the best time because everything is so like tailored.
It's Disney. Like, the I know experience. It's expensive. I know it is. But at the same time, I'm like, it's Disney. Like, they don't miss on anything. Everybody's always like so happy when they get off a Disney cruise.
They definitely have customer service experience down. Because absolutely. Even before that, because I had booked that trip a year in advance, all the moms were telling me the same thing. It's like, oh, where are you going? I was like, oh, I'm going to the Disney Dream, you know, to the islands, whatever. And they're like, oh my gosh, you're going to have the best time of your life. And I said, what is up with nobody that I've talked to? Nobody had anything negative. Oh yeah, but there was that one thing. No. Nothing. It was like, like super chill. And then the cruise itself was incredible. Like, the first island we did, my daughter had a blast because it was also the first time that she went to the beach. She's done a bunch of pools, but
so fun.
She did the beach and she was like, listen,
this I'm living is my best life.
Ocean. She goes, I didn't know there was something bigger than a pool. And she had a blast. Even my mom had a blast. The only thing is that my mom couldn't do, she had a knee issue, so she couldn't do the next day. So she ended up staying with my daughter in the room, and then we ended up doing the, what's that called? The second island we ended up doing. So So we ended up hanging out in the adult. Yeah. We ended up hanging out in the adult section.
Right.
It was like, what does this feel like? Like, what does this feel like? We forgot how to be a couple. We forgot.
Yeah.
We forgot. But I do want you to walk me through the process. So when somebody comes to you first, what happens first? Do they know where they want to go? Like, do you get these people that are like, no, I know this is the trip that I want to take. Mm-hmm. Or maybe there is another type of client that is like, you know, I don't even know where I'm going to go yet this year.
Right. I definitely have both. I definitely have people who are like, I think I want to go here. And then we start talking about it.
Okay.
Probably my favorite kind of client to talk to is one that's like, okay, I want to do something like X, you know, and they don't really know where they want to go, but they know the feeling that they want to have. They know the pace that they want to have. They know the kind of experiences they want to have, but they're not exactly sure like how to accomplish that. So a lot of times when clients first reach out to me, they'll schedule a consult call and we just get on the phone and just talk, you know, and I'm like, hey, tell me about your last vacation. Like, what did you love about it? Tell me about like your all's personalities. Do you guys enjoy, you know, having structure? Do you enjoy just sitting at a cafe and drinking wine and people watching or whatever? So those kind of things that people enjoy. And then talking about price point, talking about budget, talking about how far are you willing to travel? I mean, the amount of people who call me and are like, I want to go to Bali. And then they realize how far they actually have to go on a plane.
It looks nice on Instagram though.
Right. Exactly. And then it's like, you know, 24 hours of travel and, that's why I'm here. But yeah, so it's a little bit split, but I would say my favorite conversations are definitely the ones where people come to me with an idea, like a very nebulous idea. And then I start to navigate them through with different questions and just determining like what I think would be a really nice fit for them. I call it listening between the lines. Mm-hmm. So like they're telling me one thing, but like I might be hearing something else. And sometimes they come to me and they say, like this happens all the time. People be like, oh, I want to go on an Alaskan cruise because it's the only thing they think of when they think of Alaska. And I'm like, you know that you can do Alaska by land and see like way more wildlife, right? And they're like, oh, I didn't know you could do that. And I'm like, yeah. So it's just a lot of like education, things like that, like different experiences that people didn't know that they could have. So that's kind of, or I'll just have people be like, hey, can you book this, you know, Southwest flight and Disney trip? And I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, so that happens too, just because people get busy. They know what they want to do. They get intimidated by pulling the trigger a lot of times on the actual trip itself. And they just want someone else's eyeballs on it. So that happens too.
Let's start with doing also things that are adventurous, but also involves the children.
Right.
So I am feeling very edgy on European this year. Mm-hmm. I feel like Europe might be in my avenue. But the problem is that I don't want to do London. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do Paris because I did Paris, yep. And I don't want to do Madrid.
Okay.
I have done Italy, but I haven't done all of Italy. So, you know, that's in the works.
Right.
How does that fit a vibe? Is that enough information for you to get something?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. What time of year do you want to go?
Probably around my daughter's birthday, which is August.
Okay. So August is kind of interesting in Europe because.
But like end of August, like right the week before school starts.
Okay.
So no, that way I don't get all the travelers, the summer travelers.
Right. Right. Well, and August is interesting too, because so much of Europe takes vacation in August. Mm-hmm. So the entire month of August, all of Spain pretty much goes on vacation. A lot of Italy goes on vacation. So they're going to be on vacation, which means they are going to places as well. And you're also going to miss out on some of those local tour operators. So August is kind of interesting. You want to pick strategically. Like I would not go to Spain or Italy in August personally, unless it was the very end of August and you could kind of go into September, that would work. I would say, and you're going to take your daughter, right? And she's 3.
Mm-hmm. I always travel with her no matter where.
I love it. Yeah. But here's one thing too. This is what I would tell moms, you and all moms, don't be afraid to take your kids to Europe. We took my son to Italy when he was 2 for a whole month. We felt more welcome there than we ever did at a restaurant in the US.
That's true.
They are very welcoming to children. They're very part of like children being a part of the adult culture. Mm-hmm. I was never looked down upon. I took him to cooking classes. No one ever questioned it. They love kids. And it's just a part of life. Whereas I feel like in the US, like if I take my kids to a nice restaurant, which they do great at, they're fine because I take them all the time. I feel like people are judging me.
It's cultural. So yeah.
It is. So I feel like you're not going to get that. In August, gosh, I would probably say it kind of depends. Do you like more of the big city vibes or do you want to be like outdoors and have kind of nature?
I'm all about like, I love museums. I love adventure. Like I love tours. Mm-hmm. You know, when I went to Madrid, we did this. I think it was Toledo that we went to, that we did like an 8-hour tour with my daughter. She was great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were so good and she was amazing. And even my daughter was like having a blast and she was 18 months at the time.
Awesome.
So, but I like a lot of walking around, a lot of sightseeing. Mm-hmm. I'm not like a, you know, I'm not about to like jump off a bridge type of thing. Like I'm not in that adventure. Like I don't have any adrenaline. My thing is purely, I just want to spend time, go to a museum, explore the culture, eat their culture. Like, just want to, like, absorb the country. Love. Like, the whole country.
Here's my thinking. This is what I would like to tell you. I kind of feel like for what you're describing and for your daughter's age especially, I think the Netherlands and Belgium would be so nice.
Ooh.
One, you can travel around by train super easy. Amsterdam, so kid-friendly. You can have that feeling of like, I'm going to go explore on my own. I can go at a fast pace. I can go to the museums. I can go hit up food tours. One, I have an amazing guide in Amsterdam who you would love. He'd be so perfect. You can go on bikes. You can go by boat. So there's lots. I feel like little kids kind of love that. You know, like you put a kid on a train, you put a kid on a boat, they're happy, you know, and then you're happy because you're just getting to get the feel of the culture. Correct. And people in the Netherlands are so friendly. So I feel like they'd be super welcoming as well. Super kid friendly. So yeah, that would be my thinking. And then you could pair that with like Belgium, depending on how long you wanted to go. So you could like fly into Amsterdam, fly into Brussels, split your time between the two. I would look at like Antwerp, Bruges, Ghent, some really cool, like smaller towns that, again, you can explore. So you can go out and explore in the morning, maybe do a little tour and then come home and nap and not feel like, oh my God, I'm missing out on like what's going on, you know?
Right.
If you're still not nap season. So yeah, that would kind of be my first thinking. Lots of good museums, lots of pretty architecture. I don't know.
Oh, I'm loving it. This is vibing with me already. I didn't even think about it, but now I am going to definitely think about this right now. I'm going to mention it to my husband. I can't wait. I want to call him right now. Be like, oh my God, come over here. Check this out. Sorry, I'm in podcast mode. Let's talk
about. Yeah, that's literally what I do with clients though, is like just kind of listen to them and then be like, hey, did you think about this? You know, do you think about this place? So maybe the only other place too that would be really good would be like Portugal.
Oh.
Yeah, Portugal could be really nice, especially if your daughter does love the beach.
Yes.
Because you could do like a split. You could do like the Algarve region, and they have tons of resorts that are very family friendly and do the beach, go out on boats. And then if you want to have like the city feel, you can pair that with Lisbon and
Around. I feel like so welcome with you. Like it felt like almost like a therapy session talking to you about this, you know, because you were so easy to talk to. You already knew. It's like you were in my brain already, just speaking through, and you're like, I already know what you want.
This is what we're going to do.
This is, we got this.
And if I do it with like a husband and wife, it's very interesting because then it's like, I am a marriage counselor. Like I'm listening to both of them and I'm like, okay, I have to make both of these people happy.
Had you ever had them like argue, you know, like be like, no, I want to go to Paris. No, well, I want to go to Madrid.
Yes. Oh, 100%. And you're like,
guys,
how do I make everyone happy?
The time between you two.
Right.
Calm down. Yeah. I've had that before, you know, couples arguing about literally just the craziest thing. It's so funny. But let's pivot to budget and savings because I think this is the biggest thing for a lot of people, and why a lot of people don't even pull the trigger on traveling. One, because they think that they can't travel with kids. And two, because they think it's too expensive, because there's just extra costs involved that, you know, we just tell ourselves. So let's talk about money.
Yep, for sure.
What's your best advice for budgeting travel without, you know, having to kill all the excitement?
I know you need to talk about it. Like it has to be in the conversation. It's going to be a question. If you work with someone like me, we're going to ask you. So just go ahead and have the conversation with your spouse, you know, whoever you're planning your trip with. If you're going with friends, talk about it, figure out what everybody feels comfortable with, what you're not willing to go over. If it's going to be a big trip, plan it a year in advance, you know, plan it. Cruises are great because you can plan them 2 years in advance even.
Right.
So things like that you can plan far in advance, do it, or at least talk to someone if you have no idea where to start. You know, like I just got my bathroom redone last year and I was like, I don't know how much bathrooms cost. You know, I just needed to talk to some contractors first, you know, and get a sense of it. So talk to someone like me too, that's like, hey, what does an Alaskan cruise cost if I want to go with my whole family? You know, kind of give me a rough idea. So travel is one of those things where I tell people you can travel by Greyhound or you can fly private. It's going to cost what the experiences that you want to have. So that's something to consider. And I really do believe that you can do so many destinations on a variety of budgets. So don't let that intimidate you. And I think a lot of people think domestic is cheaper and it's just not anymore.
No.
Like, honestly, invest in your passport. It's $150. Yep. Invest in that. And you are going to open up so many other experiences for your family that is way more affordable, whether it be, you know, an all-inclusive, a cruise, you know, those kind of things that are great value, or going to Europe. I mean, Portugal, your money goes so far there.
Yeah.
Ireland, Croatia, you know, you can go to places in Europe. Yes, you do have to fly there, but honestly, the flights there compared to flying to Colorado, you know, or California, wherever you are, flying across country is really similar. Mm-hmm. So I would not just assume that a trip has to cost a lot. And I would also look at credit cards and, you know, figuring out playing the point game for sure, especially when it comes to airlines, because air, I tell people, is always going to be your largest chunk. No matter where you go, air is going to be the biggest. So if you can play the game, yeah, with the airlines and start putting things on a credit card, racking up some points, racking up some status with an airline, that's going to help you in the long run achieve those goals that you want to achieve. So if you want to travel a ton to Europe, okay, choose an airline, choose Delta, United, American.
Right.
Okay. Choose one that's near a hub near you that you can use frequently. Get one of their credit cards and just start racking up status with them. And that's going to really be huge. And total transparency, travel agents make zero money from airlines. So we do not care if you book your air with points because we're never going to make a commission from them. Oh, so anytime my clients have points, I'm like, yay, that sounds great.
That's great for you.
Yes, it's great. It's a win-win for everyone.
That's
so
wonderful. Did you hear what happened in Florida? That not what happened in Florida, but what they were saying about Florida, that it's more expensive to take a trip to Orlando in Florida.
Yep.
Then, like, you could actually just go to Japan. It's cheaper to go to Japan to their Disney World there, or I don't know if it's Disneyland.
Yeah, Disneyland, yeah.
Pay for your ticket, stay, and have an experience in Japan than it is in Florida.
Yep, it is. I've priced it personally for my family of four. It is cheaper to go to Japan. And Japan is not cheap. Like, it wouldn't be a cheap destination, in my opinion. And yet it is still cheaper than going to Orlando. So definitely don't discount that. I had a really big family. They were about to have their sixth kid. They're a big family.
That's
and
they're
like,
family.
Okay, before we have the sixth kid.
That's very
kid,
rare like, to see nowadays, a family of six. Hey, you know what I mean? Like, that's rare.
Yeah, it's rare. And they were like, we really want to take a big vacation before. And I'm like, let's go to Mexico. Let's go to an all-inclusive. And they had the best time. And they were shocked at like the investment that they spent on their kids' passports. Still a savings, and they had the best time. It was so much fun. I got to go to the beach.
A common problem that is brought up to you, that the passport, because I noticed that you've been mentioning it a lot. For me, I always have my passport updated no matter what. I don't care. But is that a common issue? Like, people don't upgrade, you know, like they don't update their passports? Like,
yeah, people do not update their passports. People don't get passports for their kids.
My daughter has had it since she was. The first day she was born, I literally took her to the post office and I had to hold her head. And I was like, okay, right there.
No, it is wild to me. I'm like, guys, invest in a passport. It is the best investment you can make because it just opens up the world to you, you know? And you never know. I tell people, you literally never know when an opportunity might come up with work even, you know, or something you don't even see coming that you're going to need it.
Yeah.
So
I'm actually shocked that. Maybe it's because I visit a lot of family in DR, you know, I don't know, but that's still weird. Like, I feel like
it's
you should always, I've never knew that. Like, I've never known for people, especially here in the US, you should have your passport updated no matter what in case of an emergency for whatever reason.
Yeah. I mean, I've run into the issue before. I had a family friend that their dad got very sick abroad and she did not have her passport updated.
You know how long that takes now?
Oof. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you can get it in emergency situations, but there are things like that that people don't think about. Like their parents are traveling or their grandparents are traveling and then they have to go abroad for some emergency. So just to get a passport, stop right now. If you do not have a passport,
let's just get a passport.
Go get them, your passport. Go get it for your kids. Keep them updated. Always,
especially now that the whole, even flying domestically, now you need the real ID. I don't have the real ID. I'm like, I already have my passport.
Yeah, it trumps everything. Like, that's why I tell people, like, the passport trumps everything. So just get it. And then you don't have to worry about the real ID and all of that.
That's the one reason why I don't care about the real ID. Because I'm like, I always travel with my passport no matter what.
Right.
Even before the real ID was the thing, I always had my passport in my bag, no matter what. Like,
and I was talking to my cousins about this at Christmas, because they all have young kids. If you have kids, you really do need to get a passport for your kid because it's a form of official identification for your child.
Yes.
If ever you were to need it, because you just never know in this day and age, and even flying domestic.
Have a conversation with TSA about anything. I'm like, listen, that's my passport. Do what you need to do with it. I don't know what
I always, even though I fly domestic with my kids, I always take their passports because I never want someone to be like, this isn't your kid, even though they look like my twins. I have that like weird mom anxiety about that. So yeah. Definitely.
You know, I have heard, this is really weird, but I have heard that having the passport is also good if something were to happen to your child, then, you know, it's going to be very difficult for that person to be traveling out. I think that's also the one of the main reasons I think the real ID was a thing.
It's a safety thing.
It's more safety, and I actually prefer it. Being that I'm I travel a lot and that sort of thing. Right. So when they came out with it, I'm like, yeah, that's one thing that I'm kind of with.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Kind of with. Sure. But zooming out a little bit, where do you think people overspend without realizing on vacation?
where they overspend. Here's the thing that a lot of people don't do that I've found. They will think about air and hotel and they think that that's their whole budget. And I'm like,
sorry,
okay, you did it.
I did not want to laugh.
But it's kind of wild because I think so many people, when they book themselves, they book the flights, they book the hotel. Yeah. And they're like, I'm done.
Right.
I don't have to worry about anything else. And I'm like, no, you need to think about the whole picture of this experience. So when I'm booking an Italy trip for someone and I ask them their budget, I say, I'm going to include flights, accommodations, experiences, transfers, trains, travel insurance. Like, I'm thinking about every single component of your trip when I think about your budget. So I think that's where travel agents, like, a lot of times we will save people money because we are looking at every single possible component that could be in the trip. And some people are just looking at hotel and air and they think, oh, I've come within budget. And then they start adding the components later and they're like, crap.
Yeah.
You know?
No, because I feel like people freak out. That's what it is. Like, they, because the thing is that they look at travel, like you said, travel, hotel, and they're like, oh, this is doable, right? Mm-hmm. But you, right, you're coming with a mentality of like, listen, there's, you have to eat, you have to experience, right. You want to take pictures, you want to get to X location. How are you going to get there?
Are you going to get there? Yeah.
And I've had this before where whenever I'm planning travel, especially with my mom, she's not an avid traveler. She just, if she could, you know, she'll hunker down in Florida, stay there forever. She'll be good. But every time I talk to my mom about this, this is always a conversation when we go anywhere. But when she sees the whole amount together in front of her, it scares her. Mm-hmm. And like, I think it's the same for people. Like, they just get scared at seeing the entire amount in its entirety and seeing, wait a second, this is what I'm going to spend later anyway.
Right.
With or without the travel agent. You know what I mean?
That's like, so
true. You're just exposing it early on, kind of like confront your fears.
Yeah. Like, here it is. Let's all mentally prepare for this.
I think too,
it's like, yeah, people will add on those components later and then they're really not thinking about how much they've actually spent on the trip. Mm. Whereas I'm making them face it in the beginning.
Right.
Tell me your budget. Tell me your price point. We're going to all feel very comfortable with this number. And then guess what? We're going to package it all together and in the end save you a ton of money because we've packaged it all because we're working with different tour operators that allow that. So yeah, we kind of have to get over that. And to like, I think sometimes when people book it on their own, they feel like they have to pay it all in advance.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do that. Like, so often we can just pay a deposit and hold everything and you're set, you know? So I think right now we're really seeing a lot of the peripheral European countries, coming to kind of the forefront. Mm-hmm. So your countries like, you know, people, if they've gone at all, they've probably gone to England, France, Spain, Italy.
Yep.
That typically is kind of the core four of what people do first. Now we're kind of starting to see people wanting to go back because once you go, you kind of get addicted to it.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing them like expand out. So Iceland, super trendy, super hot any time of year. People want to go, like, and it is amazing in the summer. It's amazing in the winter. You can go whenever. Norway, same kind of idea. And then you have countries like Portugal, Croatia that I've mentioned before. Those are great because they're nice little cousins. So like, if you've been to Spain, go to Portugal. It's a nice cousin to Spain. If you've been to Italy, go to Croatia. It's a nice cousin to Italy.
I love that. I've been dying to go to Croatia because of Game of Thrones.
Yes. Oh, for sure. And we definitely see those trends as well. Like people going to destinations because of movies and TV shows and those kinds of things. And then I also think too, like that soft adventure. So like going to a place like Thailand and kind of having something that feels exotic, but is still very safe, secure.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel like totally out there and crazy. And it's kind of same idea with like some of your Central American destinations. Like I love Costa Rica for families. I feel like
I've heard that you, a lot. I heard about Costa Rica.
It's so amazing. Like they're so friendly to the US. It is literally the cleanest country ever. I mean, you could go into a gas station and eat off a floor. I mean,
wow.
Literally the cleanest country. So it's so great for families. It's a nice like adventure without feeling like I had to travel super far away or have this kind of too exotic. You know, if you kind of want to have that safe, exotic adventure, I guess it kind of like tickles that a little bit for people. So yeah, I kind of see those as being really trendy. And Japan, gosh, Japan is so hot right now. Vietnam is really hot. Right. So yeah, we see kind of those peripherals. Yeah.
This is so great. Guys, get into it, please. Please. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Get into the traveling this year. I am dying to plan my travel, but first I have to do my speaking engagement next week, and then I'll for sure.
And then you can focus. Yeah.
And the first person I need to think about is Allie.
Oh my gosh, that'd be amazing. And two, I was thinking about this at the new year because everybody's planning trips right now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want a resource for moms or dads or whoever the planner is, you know, a lot of times it's moms. I want a resource for people to make it seem like it's attainable to do this. Like, this is not something crazy. And so I developed this little roadmap. I called it the Family Travel Roadmap.
Oh.
It's free. You can go on my Instagram, you can get it. And it just kind of makes you sit down and look at your family, look at the ages of your kids. How old are they going to be in 3 years? How old are they going to be in 5 years, 10 years? And think about your family dynamic, the places you've always wanted to go, to have those conversations with your spouse about budget and money and write those things down. And it just kind of helps you create a roadmap, because otherwise you are going to kick the can down the road and you're never going to go on the trips, or you're just going to keep going back to the same places again and again.
Right. We're always going to make excuses to not do something. That's easy.
For sure.
That's the easiest part of everything. So if someone is listening to this right now and is thinking, hey, I need Allie, because I know I do.
I will help you out, girl.
Where can people find you?
Yes, definitely find me on Instagram. That's a great place to just get ideas. Like I said, go download that Family Travel Roadmap. It's free. It's a great resource for you. So it's at Allie Picture This Travel. And you can also go to my website, AllyPictureThisTravel.com. Again, just kind of read more about my services, families that I've helped in the past, couples I've helped in the past. And then definitely schedule a call with me. There's a little button on there. You can schedule a call. If you're like, I have no idea what I want to do, but I want to go somewhere with my family.
Anywhere.
Call me. Like, we can just have a fun conversation like this where I just get to know you and hear a little bit more about you and your desires for your vacation plans. And if you've never done it before, it's okay. I work with a lot of people who've never worked with a travel agent. So.
I think that's the best people to work with. If you've never done it, that the excitement is going to be high. It's like almost planning your wedding.
It is. Yes.
I would rather go out travel around the world than spend a bunch of money on a wedding.
Yes.
But anyway, with all of that said, oh my gosh, guys, find Allie. I can't wait. I'm actually going to contact Allie myself because I have a lot of stuff I need to get done. But for all of you out there, thank you so much for listening. Allie, thank you for being here. And for all of you out there, thank you for listening. And until next time.